Amen. That's awesome. I've never heard that. I mean, I've heard it in a different way, but I've never heard the whole song. Children's church, by the way. Isn't that awesome? Somebody has left me a note about finance committee and children's church. I wrote children's church on there. It's so good to see you this morning. It's awesome to be able to worship with you today. I'm glad to be able to be in God's house with you this morning. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. We're going to get there eventually, and if we do, we do, and if we don't, we don't today. But I want to spend a little bit of time with you and talk about the importance of developing a disciplined devotion life. I mean, you know, I'm a sports guy, so sometimes you relate things to sports. When you played football and you were, when I should have played C team, I had to play A team. I won't go into all that because, you know, there is a weight requirement, you know? And if you can't make the C team weight, you have to play up. And so that's kind of how that goes. So my career in being on the offense and defensive line started very early for me. So I was taught from a very early age that if everybody does their job, sports, 11 guys trying to accomplish one goal in football, and I know this is, you know, I know this is in a secular term, but just bear with me for a second. Sports, 11 guys trying to accomplish one goal, each play being snapped to be successful. That's the goal. When the quarterback goes either under the center or in shotgun, the goal is to snap the ball and not lose yards, but to make positive yards and to be successful in that play. So when 11 guys know the play and 11 guys take care of, like I say, as an offense and defensive lineman, take care of their 10-foot square, then the play has a chance of being successful. What if one guy takes off that play? The odds of the play being successful are a little less. What if two don't accomplish what they're supposed to? Then the odds of the play being successful are even less. And you understand what I'm trying to say. Developing a disciplined habit takes practice. Amen? So the same's true with reading your word. The same's true with running. You and Mark and even Adam, you run, right? It's developing. And Sarah, y'all run. So it's developing a habit. You didn't go out the first day. I don't think anybody went out the first day and said, I'm going to run, and I'm going to run a marathon today. How far is that? 26 miles or something like that? 26 miles? A marathon. Why anybody run 26 miles? I don't know. But they do, and they run it in an incredible time. 26 miles. But I promise nobody set out the first day that said, I'm going to tie on my shoes, and today I'm going to go run a marathon. You run a marathon by developing a habit of running this distance, and then this distance, and then this distance. What's the longest book that you ever read? Hey, when I was in high school, they'd say, you got to have a book report on this particular book. I promise I never chose the book that had 10,000 chapters. I just didn't. Matter of fact, I was looking for one that qualified that had 20 chapters. If it met the requirement of the teacher. I even had a class in seminary. I had one class in seminary. You know, in seminary, you go through all these things. You jump through the hoops that you're supposed to. You learn the things that are valuable to you. And some of it is you have to accomplish a certain amount of requirements to be able to fulfill your commitment and get a diploma. I had a class in millennialism. That's even hard to say, isn't it? Millennialism. And so in the class, and the book was about this thick, and I read several chapters in the book, and I'll be honest with you, it's one of the worst books. I just could not ever get into reading the book. And so I knew where I stood, and I don't know where you are in the whole tribulation idea, pre, mid, post, pan, whatever you are. Really don't matter to me. I'm pre-trib because I believe I can support that from the Word of God that says that I believe that one day that Jesus is going to step out on the cloud and with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, there's going to be this sound and we that are alive and remain are going to be caught up in the air to meet those that have already come out of the grave and we're going to go by that judgment seat and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen? You say, well, I'm a mid-trib. I'm a post-trib. I'm a pan trib. You're just hoping it's all going to pan out. I don't know where you are in your theology, But that's kind of where I'm at, all right? I know Sand Mountain's tough sometimes about pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, all that stuff, but I'm just a pre-trib guy, and I believe I can support that from the text. I say all those things that in that class, I just couldn't get into that book, and I didn't read the book, and at the end of the semester, the professor said, "Did you read the book?" I put, "No." And then he marked my question. He marked it wrong. And I just wanted to debate that with him for a second. I wasn't trying to be smart in that. I just wanted to debate that with him for a second because the question didn't say, the book is required reading. Did you read the book? The question was, did you read the book? And I answered that as honestly as I could. No. He marked it wrong. I said, that's the right answer. He said, it's not the answer I'm looking for. I said, but you didn't ask the question correctly because you didn't say that the book is required reading. Did you read the book? And he and I debated that. I still don't think I got those points, but it's okay. So when I taught in seminary for my guys, when the books were required, I'd always ask the same question. The book is required reading. Did you read the book? And then that way, if you answer yes or no, then you're honest and you tell the truth and you're up front and all those things. But it's about developing a habit, prayer, continuing in prayer. How many times do we read in the Word of God that we're to pray? Pray always. Pray giving thanks always. Continue in prayer. We're going to talk about prayer on down the road a little ways. In these next few weeks, we're going to talk about this devotional idea, developing this habit. Kelly and I were on our way back from Memphis Monday. And I'm a guy that, you know, we came back, made our way around and came back 278. You know, I like driving through the countryside and we were in no hurry. If you're in a hurry, you find the interstate and you get on the interstate and you go, we were in no hurry, so 278. You know how it is, like it's all the way across our state, it's like this. And I went there places I'd never been. Sulligent and some other places, can't even remember the names. But I'm driving down the road, and I'm a church sign reader, and so I look at church signs, and I read those. And I read one, and I didn't say anything right away because my wheels were spinning at that point. I'm trying to understand what they're saying to me. You know, again, if you want people to understand what you're saying, make it clear on your sign. Amen? I mean, you can't put a whole chapter up there. They don't have time to read it, but make sure that it's clear. Don't put offensive things like hop in before Easter you know, because that's offensive. That's offensive. I think that's offensive. Don't, you know, the CEOs, Christmas and Easter only, I think that's offensive. I think people don't want to hear the church talk about beat the Christmas rush, come to church this week. I don't think they want to hear that. Let's just love them the way that God's called us to love them, and they'll come to church. I think eventually we share the gospel with them. We're diligent in our pursuit of, let's not offend them. But this church sign said, and I quote, it's not long so I can remember it. It said this, new year, same God. So I saw that and I'm driving. I didn't even say anything to Kelly for a little bit. I was like, then finally I said, did you see that church sign back there? I said, I'm trying to figure that out. New year, same God. And I've thought about it a lot since last Monday. And I told Kelly, I said, in the car that day, the knee-jerk reaction to that was, new year, same God. But if I'm not changed or not willing to grow and not willing to move up in my relationship, and whatever I got last year, I'm probably going to get the same result. Amen? I mean, can we not reason that together and say that if something doesn't change for me in this new year, as far as my walk with God or my pursuit of developing a daily devotional life, some kinds of studying God's word on a systematic basis, if that doesn't happen in my life and I don't grow spiritually and I don't move up in my relationship, I'm probably going to get the same result that I got last year. I think that's fair to say, right? But I've thought about the sign a lot since then, and I've come to this conclusion. I think what they're trying to say is that we make so much a big deal about a new year, but it is the same God that's consistent. Amen? We make all these kinds of promises. And you know, I was reading a devotional for this new year, and the guy was saying at the beginning of the year, a certain gym that he is a member of, at the beginning of the year, they bring in all this new gym equipment, all this additional equipment. Because for the first about 12 or 14 days of the month of January, additional equipment is needed. After about the 14th, they take all the additional equipment back out and the gym returns to normal, because about after 14 days, people have decided that I'm probably not going to keep up with that gym membership. Developing a daily, systematic, devotional habit. It's a habit. Reading God's Word is a habit. It's a good habit. Last year I did that electronically. This year, this is a Bible that I bought in 2015. It's the New Living Translation. And when I read something, sometimes I try to read something that I don't always read. I don't know if that makes any sense to you. To me, it just kind of helps me. It challenges me to read something else instead of the King James or the New King James. But this is called the New Living Translation. And this is chronological. So you read it day by day by day. Today's January the 5th, and you see in here inside this Bible that says there's some insights and overview and some daily walk. So there's some devotional thought that goes with that, and then the scripture that's required for the day. And you just read that every day, and it's very easy to, and after you, I'm actually a little bit ahead, but when you get to the end of the first, when you get to the first week, there's a time of reflection. At the end of the first week, there's no more scripture to read. It's just a whole devotional page that's committed to talking about everything that you've read for the past week and give you a chance to catch up in your reading if you're a little bit behind. Because I promise you'll get a little bit behind. Even if you have the best intentions of reading your word every day, something will come along. The enemy will make sure that he tries to snatch away your time of being in God's word. So I just say to you that I just wanted to bring it and show you that this, just to develop some sort of devotional habit and get in God's Word this year. Because it's important that you and I read and study and reflect and meditate on God's Word. Amen? Isn't that a good thing? It's a good thing. Not just to say that we have accomplished reading our Bible through in a year, but that it's more than just reading our Bible through in a year. It's in a pursuit of seeking God. Amen? That's why we read God's Word. That's why we study God's Word. And that's why it's important for you and I to develop this type of devotional habit and this type of process of reading God's Word. And before I read it, I'm going to grab my glasses too, by the way. So in 2 Timothy, Paul, this is telling this young preacher boy, if you would, turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. We're going to read God's Word together. So you will find that place and stand. We'll read God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And we'll have a little bit to say about this in a minute, but I want to finish my thought on developing a devotional habit with you. But 2 Timothy chapter number 3, I think this is some of my favorite scripture when it considers God's Word. Again, God's Word, a book that you and I have, the original canon of scriptures written over a period of 1,500 years by 40 different authors on 3 different continents in 3 different languages. Yet it's without error, it's without any type of error or contradiction in any way, God's Word. Infallible, living, breathing, God's Word. Okay, so it's important for you and I to read. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, look at verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Pray with us this morning. Father, again, thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity to preach this morning for just a few minutes. We ask that you help us, challenge us, change us. In the light of your word, have your way in our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Look at the phrase in verse number 17. Now, you and I both know that Paul is talking to Timothy, this young preacher. And so when he uses the phrase, the man of God, he uses that phrase correctly in the sense that he's talking to this young preacher. Often it's been called men of God, man of God, man of God, men of God. But I want to say to you that this is not a gender-specific term here. It's not, and it's not even a positional-specific term here either. I know that he is talking to a young preacher that he wants to encourage him to stay the course and stay on the firing line and stay in God's Word. But this is not a gender specific or a positional specific word or phrase either. Because the phrasing there, man of God, literally means disciple of God. It literally means you and I, as disciples of God, you and I are, if you're a believer and follower of Jesus Christ, guess what? You're a disciple of God. And as a disciple of God, he encourages us to stay in his word, to continue in his word. I promise you, when you read the word of God over and over again, especially in the Old Testament, those names get easier to pronounce. Amen? Some of us don't read it because we can't pronounce all those names. But I promise as you read them over and over again, or listen to them. I don't care how you get God's word in you. Do it electronically. Listen, read, develop some devotional habit because it's important for you and I. If Paul told Timothy, this young man of God, that he needed to continue in the word of God, I think, and it's recorded in the canon of scripture, so you and I could read it today and tomorrow and next year and next month and 10 years and 100 years from now, if Christ tarries his coming, the implorement will continue to be the same. Read God's word, study God's word, continue in God's word. Amen. I promise some of us, you know, I'm not of the generation. How many still read the paper every day? Raise your hand. You read the paper every day? That's coming. That's kind of specific to certain generations, you know. Kelly's dad was a man that got his paper every day and had his coffee and he read the paper every day. And I've always been the guy that skimmed the highlights. And then when the internet came along, you can almost get anything you want on MSN or any of those search engines. You see all the highlights of all the headlines and all that stuff. You have to dig through the liberal junk, but you have to dig through some of that. You know, you understand that. But I'm saying to you that sometimes we, how many of you watch television every day? How many of you do this every day? How many of you do things every day that you don't even think about? Sometimes you come in, you turn on the television, you watch the news, or you watch that program, or you watch football. Are you not sick of football by now with all of the football that's been on since it's been this holiday? I mean, we're just... So I'm just saying to you, if we got time to do all of those things, can't we take 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 25, 30 minutes a day, read God's word? Huh? Yeah. And it's a habit. I promise if you start reading God's word and develop a devotional habit, it comes easier. It comes easier. Friend of mine sent me this, and like I said, we're going to talk about prayer in a couple of weeks or whenever we get there. But developing a prayer life and developing a devotional habit, that should be the goal for us as believers and followers this year. I mean, whatever other resolution you've made or whatever other change that you desire for this year or whatever it is, Being a person that prays on a regular basis, continuing in a state of prayer and developing a devotional habit should be at the top of the list of everybody that's a believer and follower of Jesus Christ. A friend of mine sent me this quote from Spurgeon, and he said this week, he said, pray that this year, and these are Spurgeon's words because I don't talk like thou mayest, but so you understand that. Pray that this year thou mayest be holy, humble, zealous, and patient. Have closer communion with Christ and enter oftener into the banqueting house of his love. Pray that thou mayest live more to the glory of thy master. The motto for this year must be continue in prayer. I think that's a good word. When we get to talking about prayer, and we're going to talk about prayer for a little bit today, touching on that, that comes with a devotional life, developing that habit. But this devotional life calls for a daily encounter. You and I are to encounter God daily. Read God's word. Encounter God in the light of his word and in conjunction with the spirit of prayer. Continue in prayer. The motto for the year. John 4:23 talks about worshipers and how that God seeks worshipers that are worshiping spirit and truth. And the idea there is that passage, that word seek in that passage literally means that the Father, the Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, the sustainer of all things, the God Almighty Himself seeks to have worship from me and from you. He seeks me on a daily basis. He seeks me to worship Him and to commune with Him. And don't you think it must break the Father's heart when He seeks us and we don't keep that same divine appointment? Amen? My kid is in Germany and I talk to her every day. Every day. I'm so glad that she still wants to talk to her daddy every day. She's 27. My kids tore me up this Christmas. They said things about me that I just, wow, I'm blessed with family, blessed with girls that they love God and they seek after Him. You know, it would break my heart if my kids didn't have time for me. Don't you think it must rend the heart of God when He seeks us and we don't have time for Him? We don't even have time to make 15, 20 minutes of devotional habit time for Him. I think the Father waits to hear me with those expressions that come from me, with that love and that act of obedience and worship that comes from me, from encountering Him through His Word. That ought to be the motivation for me to develop what's called our quiet time, right? Systematic daily devotion habit, quiet time, spending time with God. I want to just suggest, before we get into the text, and I know the time, but can I suggest some thoughts for you? You may want to just jot them down. You don't have to write everything down, but just jot down some of the, there's about six things, and you can develop that however you want to yourself, but can I just give you six real quick things about developing this devotional habit? And all you got to write down is just the points, just the six, and they're just single words, so it's not real hard. Some steps to follow in meeting with our God on a daily basis. One is this: we need to wait before our God. Wait. Someone said that hurry is the death of prayer. Hurry is the death of prayer. And can I say to you that if you and I just get somewhere and just wait on God and spend some time reflecting on God and spend some time just waiting for His leading and His prompting and His purpose and desperately desiring His power in our life. Listen, I promise if we'll just wait, even if it's a shorter period of time, is better spent than one eye on the clock just seeing how long we can stay there. Amen? But just wait. But you know what happens to us? We've been so trained that we rush into God's presence and we give Him our laundry list of things that we need. Lord, here's my things. I need this, I need that, and so-and-so asked me to pray for them, and I want to pray for them, and I want to pray for that, and pray for this, and oh God, would you do this in our lives, and would you do this for our church, and God, would you do something so I could just believe that you're real? And we just give that big laundry list of stuff. And we just never wait. Second thing is this. Then read. It's simple. The Bible has 1,189 chapters. I promise again, if you look at it like that, you'll go, 1,189 chapters. I probably ain't going to read that this year. You know, Jeffrey and I talked about, you know, one day we were talking, and we were talking about reading and reading in school. And he's like, I never read much. You know, I was like, I get it. But again, if you just take it one day at a time, right? If you take it one step at a time, the goal is not to sit down today and read 1,189 chapters. The goal is to take one day at a time. Again, if you read a book of any length, you read it page by page, right? And develop some kind of plan and develop some kind of habit in reading God's Word on a systematic basis. Again, as I said, runners don't go out and say, I'm going to run a marathon today and build up to that. Nobody says, I'm going to be the Ironman next week. I ain't even ran the first mile yet, but I'm going to run the Ironman. I'm going to swim all those miles, bike all those miles, and then run all those miles. Nobody does that. It's developing a habit. Basketball coach, we run plays over and over again because when that play is called, it's in or up or out or whatever it is, people know where they're supposed to go. Amen, coach? It's habit. So wait and then read. Read God's Word. And again, there's so many ways to do that. Systematically, I think some kind of sequence is best. There's so many plans out there. I mean, you can get something online. You can get something to your phone, your tablet, your iPad. Or you can buy something like this that's probably, you know, I think maybe I paid 10 or 12 bucks for that. And you can keep it. And I'm reading it 5 years later again. So, I mean, it's the investment's so small, but I promise you the what comes from that far outweighs the investment when we read God's Word. You know how I promise something that's systematic is better than this. Amen? Did you see that? They call it the lucky dip. And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. That's good. If you know what's being said there, or if you know who's being spoken to or about, that's good. But developing some kind of systematic daily habit, something that's in sequence, something that gives you some instruction, gives you some discipline in how to read the Word. Some of those plans read a little bit of the Old Testament, a little bit of the New Testament, a little bit of the Psalms and Proverbs. Some, like I'm reading this year, will be chronologic. It'll read right through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, this, and on and on and on. So there's so many plans out there. Just find something that fits for you. So wait and then read and then think. Think. Once you read the portion, maybe you have to read it again. I'm slower sometimes. Sometimes I have to read that passage again and again. But read it and then think. What's being said here? To whom is being spoken? Who's speaking? Listen, is there a promise to claim here? Is there a lesson to learn? Is there a blessing to enjoy? Is there a command to obey? Is there some sin to avoid? Maybe there's something new I can learn about God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit, some new revelation that God gives to me. Or maybe even a new awareness of the keenness and cunningness of the enemy. I promise you, he's slick. Amen. And he seeks to devour us. And he seeks, most important, hey, I promise you, he don't want me to develop a life of prayer or devotion. Nor does he want you. So read God's Word. And then write. Psychologists, we're not talking about writing like some manuscript. We're talking about jotting down some personal things, you know, that means something to you about something you read. Right. Psychologists say this, that said there's no expression without impression. No impression without expression. Same reversal. No impression without expression. No expression without impression. In other words, when we read God's Word, it should that impression should respond with an expression. Something that I think about. Something maybe I want to write down. Plus, it's been said that we remember much more of what we write down than what we just hear, right? Much more than what we write down, than what we hear. So when you read God's word, if you write those things down, it confirms those, maybe those God-given impressions, those things that he's expressed, and we express that and we write it on paper, or we put it in our tablet or our iPad or whatever it is, have you track that. Or even in your phone, there's a little, you have a little icon called Notes. I keep a lot of little things in there. In my daily time of reading, sometimes I either type that in there, or if I'm reading something electronically, I'll even just copy and paste that and stick it in my notes. Right? I mean, we have technology that is so amazing. I get to say, hey, listen, December the 26th, we opened Christmas present with my kid in Germany looking at our portal. That's pretty cool, huh? Technology is amazing today, and it ought to be utilized in every aspect of our life, even our devotion life if necessary. If you don't want to turn the pages, do it electronically. Please do something. And then so write. And then one of my favorite parts of that is to, when we pray about those things, we pray and ask God about the things that we've read, the things that we've meditated on, the things that, and we pray until my will has been adjusted to all that the Holy Spirit has for me. Most of the time we're praying like we're trying to change God to believe what we believe instead of us changing ourselves to believe what God's saying. Amen? Did you hear that? I pray until my will is bent to His will from the authority of the Word of God. And then my favorite part about my devotional habit is that I get to share that. I mean, I have a guy that I can count on every day, something to my phone from his devotional life. And we share those things back and forth. And a lot of times, some of the stuff that I'm even saying to others as I encounter them on a daily basis, or even here in the pulpit or wherever, comes from some daily reading, something that I've stored away, something that I read, some author has said, some quote, something, and I get a chance to share that. I promise if you'll share what you've read, it'll be a blessing to you, and it'll be a blessing to somebody else. Maybe you just want to share it with somebody and say, listen, this is what I read the other day. I think it's, help me. Help me with this. Let's talk about this. Let's meditate on this. Let me share this with you with some excitement about what God's saying in His Word. I think it's the coolest part of my quiet time that I get to share those things through conversation or personal evangelism or encouragement. I try to be an encourager because I know that we, God's people, need encouragement. I try to be that. But I think more about when we share what we're reading is this: I'm walking in obedience to be a doer of the Word. Amen? That the Scripture talks about. Not just hearer only, but a doer of the Word of God. Hear the words of our Lord. Look, take your Bible. Look, Isaiah chapter number 50. I want you to see this. Hear the words of our Lord, of Jehovah's servant. Look in Isaiah 50, verse number 4. Look at verse 4, if you would. In this passage, this is the Messiah's, this is some quotes of the Messiah himself. It's prophetic, it's messianic, all of those things apply. He says, verse 4, the Lord God has given me a tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I know will not be rebellious, nor did I turn away. Now, I know those are the words speaking directly of our Messiah. But listen, there's application there for you and I as well, that we open our mouths and we share what we've read and heard. Amen. And so there's this idea that's very important that when we wait on God and we pray and we do all of those little steps necessary to develop that quiet time or that devotional path, we get down to the end of it. We share that with someone else because it could be an encouragement to somebody. It could not only be an encouragement to somebody, it could be someone that's weary. God's given you and I ears to hear, tongue of the learned. When we read God's word and we share those thoughts, that's amazing. Those are some quick steps that the Bible speaks about as just giving us this idea of developing this devotional path. The Bible always associates this phrase that we talk about in 2 Timothy, man of God or disciple of God, with a disciplined devotional life. Listen to this man. His name is George Mueller. After years of Christian experience, George Mueller was a German-born individual that was called into the ministry. He was an evangelist. But his biggest ministry that he had, they had an orphanage. And over a lifetime of orphan work, he had, they say, around 10,000 children that came through the orphanage that they ministered to. 10,000 children, and we're talking about the 1800s, early 1800s, and you can imagine having, of course, they didn't have 10,000 at one time, but you can imagine however many children you had at one time, feeding them and clothing them and taking care of them. And this was a man that trusted God to supply all those needs, and this was an evangelist of the Word of God. After all those years of experience, he said this, and he said, I confess, quote, I saw more clearly than ever that the first and great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day was to have my soul happy in the Lord. The first thing to be concerned about was not how much I might serve the Lord, but how I might get my soul into a happy state and how the inner life might be nourished. Here's an evangelist in the early 1800s that had an orphanage that most people would say this is a godly man, a saint of old, and they would say that this was a successful brother in his service to the Lord. And this brother at an aged period in his life said, I've come to realize the most important thing is not how much I serve God or how many children come through my orphanages, but he says it's most important that I make sure that this inner man is nourished every day. You and I do that on a regular basis. Even Brother Merlin and I were talking, what we said, we're going to worship here in a few minutes, then we're going to go eat something, right? I'm going to nourish this body. But what about the inner man? What about the inner man? I promise if you're only expecting a Sunday school lesson and 30 minutes in a preaching time is enough. It's not enough. It's barely scratching the surface. It's barely scratching the surface. God wants you and I to develop this systematic devotional habit. Paul's telling Timothy, if you're going to be this man of God, you got to continue in this pursuit of the Scripture. This man of God, this disciple of God, must be devoted to the Scripture. And that devotion to the sacred writings, as Paul is saying to him, there is this continuance in verse 14 of chapter 3. Continue in the Word of God. Continue in this commitment to the Word of God. From childhood, Timothy, you've sat under the prophets of the Old Testament, and now you're hearing from this great Apostle Paul, and you even had great mom like Eunice and Lois that taught you from the Word of God. But with that said, continue in the Word of God. You know, sometimes I think maybe you and I get to the place where we just go, well, I've been a Christian for X amount of years that I know enough. Maybe we do know the basics. You know, we know those. We can recite those, you know, regurgitate those over and over again. We use churchy words. We use churchy phrases and things like that. But nourishment of the inner man is on a daily basis from being in God's Word. Listen, I know that. I speak to myself about that. I promise the enemy would steal that every day from me. And there are days that I miss. I try my best to go back and make those up. But don't get bogged down there. Develop something. And I promise the more and more you do that, that habit, it comes as natural as anything else that you do routinely. You get along with God and you read His Word. Thank God for godly mom and a godly grandmom too, amen, that comes alongside. Paul's urging Timothy to continue in the things that he had learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom he had learned them. I don't think there's a better time in the world to teach our children than when they're children, amen, about God's Word. We used to do Bible drills, you know, they could find the books of the Bible. You know, when I got to Cross Point, I think I told you that story. I took a class. Our administrator left. He was teaching a senior high class, and I taught in our school. And it was a Bible class, and I didn't even know where they were or what they were doing, anything like that. This is a Bible class in a private Christian school. And I said, I didn't know what they had. There was really no lesson plans or anything else. Most of the time, he didn't show up for class. He always had some other administrative thing to do, so they just kind of hung out. So I got in there, and the first thing I said, we're gonna have a test tomorrow, all the books of the Bible. Got to be in order and got to spell them correctly. So we'll have that test in the morning. I didn't know what else to do. Didn't know what they were studying. There's no curriculum. There's no lesson plans. Got that back from that 30-some-odd kids in that class, mostly junior, mostly seniors, some juniors. Could not believe that most of them didn't have a clue. They got some of the main ones, you know, like everybody can do Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, probably. And it's tough. I promise it's tough. If you haven't learned as a child, or, you know, Kelly will still sing them to me. You know, they learned as children, they sing the song and know the books of the Bible. And I do better when I sing the song as well. You get bogged down in some of the minor prophets. But we took that test for a number of days till everybody passed it and everybody got it right. And you say, well, that doesn't sound like a whole lot. It doesn't, but it does say what it says to me is that we get to a place where, you know, you and I we say we're believers and followers of Jesus Christ and that we're born again and that we're sure that we're going to heaven, but yet we don't feel like it's necessary to commune with our Father. And we don't have time for that. Teach our children or grandchildren from youth, from childhood. Parents are instructed to bring up your children in the training and the admonition of the Lord, as the Scripture says. Young or old, whatever age you are at this point, it doesn't matter. There must be this continuance in the Word of God. And with the continuance, the last thing, Paul, that I'm going to say today is this. Paul not only talks to Timothy about this continuance or this commitment to the Word of God as a disciple of God, as a man of God. Remember what I said, that's not a gender-specific thing and it's not a positional-specific phrasing either. It's about your inner man and your walk with the Lord. He says there ought to be this obedience to the Word of God. In our ministry in DeKalb County called Bible Release Time, we teach character qualities from God's Word, and one of those character qualities is obedience. And obedience is this, doing what you're told. This is the definition that we use in that. Now, you may dispute that from, if you go look it up in the Webster's Dictionary, that's fine, but one we use is, it says obedience is doing what you're told when you're told with a happy attitude. With the right attitude. Not necessarily when I get around to it, because that's called partial obedience. Right? We all kind of get there sometimes. Obedience to the Word of God. So Paul's telling Timothy, if you're going to have this continuance, there ought to be this obedience to the Word of God. In my very quiet time this morning, a phrasing in this book, the devotional aspect or the insight, if you would, in this book by the author. He says this, the evidence for knowing God, is obeying God. The evidence for knowing God is obeying God. Now, if you and I believe that this is God's word and that we're supposed to read this, then Paul stresses to Timothy as well that these sacred writings are able to give him the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. In verse 15, listen, you can get a lot of stuff out there. As I said, who the guy was, maybe it was Spurgeon himself that said some books inspire, some books even inspire, some books inform. But he says the Bible is the only book that transforms. If that's the correct phrasing of that little quote, that this book right here, this Bible, this canon of Scripture is the only book that transforms our lives. Some books inspire us, some books inform us, but this book is the only one that transforms us in the presence of God. It makes us wise to first salvation and then wisdom that comes for whatever we need in our life. And Scripture coupled with obedient faith, it affects our life. Wow. That's amazing. I think about Abraham, that the Scripture says in Hebrews 11 and verse 8 that he went. Abraham, there's a lot of other before the end of that same verse, so you have to read it all. But he said Abraham went without knowing where he was going. He went without knowing where he was going. God said, Abram, why don't you leave Ur of the Chaldeans and follow me? Yes, Lord. He went not knowing where he was going. That's obedient faith. Amen. You and I need to have this continuance in the Word of God and this obedience to the Word of God. And as you develop a daily devotional habit, I promise it gets, you know, it gets easier and easier if you'll just try. Try. I would dare say that most Christians, a lot of Christians, say they've never read the Bible through in a year. You've read a lot of the Bible. People have read a lot of the Bible, or they've had a lot of the Bible read to them. Church sign said, New Year, same God. God's the constant. What's the fluctuating component of that? Me and you. My kid texts me late from Germany, New Year's Eve. And she was still awake, so we talked for a minute. And she said this to me. She said, Dad, she said, I not only live in another country than you, I live in a different time zone from you. I now live in a different decade, in a different year from you. That's weird. Because when it's midnight there, it's 5 p.m. here. That's weird. But I say to you, then this new year, I'm not sure what else is on your slate for the new year. Whatever that is, dig in. Amen? But I hope that you'll consider letting God's Word be part of it this year for you. Tell me about it. Share it with others, what you're reading or your plan or whatever that might be. So the man of God, the disciple of God, must be devoted to the Scripture. The psalmist David even testified in the Psalms, in Psalm 119:97, I close. He says, Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Pray that God would let God's word be, that I would respond to God's word like that. I love your law, Lord. And let your meditation, the meditation of that, be a joy in my life and something that I develop systematically. Let's pray together this morning. Father, we're so thankful for the day that you've given us. Thank you for the word. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share with these folks. Lord, they are very attentive. I pray that this year will be a year that myself and them, we would make God's word a priority in our life. We would make having a systematic devotional or developing a systematic devotional habit would be a priority in our life. And as a result of that, Father, we would move up in our relationship. We would grow spiritually. We would have wisdom from on high that leads to salvation, first off, and then for every other phase and question of life, there's wisdom from your word. So have your way. Speak to us today. And I give you glory and honor and praise for everything that's accomplished here in this place today. In Jesus' name we ask, amen and amen.